Good evening. This is Wednesday, July 12th, 2017, and this is the courtroom observers meeting. Good evening. Terry, you have anything you want to put out this evening?
No, I don't.
Well, we have quite a few people here this evening, and this is great. We need people to come in every week, and I'm glad to see so many stuck around. Now, we're here to help courtroom observers to become more professional, to know more about what they're doing and how important courtroom observing is. It's actually a quite important job to be doing, and it's really enjoyable. And I'll just go over some of the things that we need to know, and that's when you decide to be a courtroom observer, look as professional as possible. Guys, wear a button-up shirt and tie if possible. I know that in some cases somebody may not be able to wear a suit, but look as nice as possible. Try to have a button-up shirt with a tie at the very least. And try to look like, you know, the more you can look like the attorneys and the prosecutors and all of that, the more you look like you belong there, and the more it intimidates. And that's one of the things that we do as a courtroom observer. We walk in looking nice. We have a badge on that says courtroom observer at the top, a picture in the center, picture of yourself, and then at the bottom, National Liberty Alliance. And you carry a clipboard with a legal pad on it, pencil or pen to take notes. And as soon as you're in there, you want to busy yourself. Make them see you taking notes. Write down the judge's name, the court, and the address, and as much information as you can. And if you can get the prosecutor's name, write it down. But make a show of taking notes. I hold the pad up above the seats to where they can see it well. And if they speak with you, if the prosecutor or judge says anything to you, be polite, but don't get into a conversation. Just answer them with short answers. Hi. Yeah, hi. You know, just something short. Don't get into a discussion with them. If they ask you what you are, what you're doing, I'm a courtroom observer. Who are you with? National Liberty Alliance, and drop it. You don't need to go any deeper. And you want to take good notes, and you really need to know something about the Constitution. You should be at least have a working knowledge of the Constitution, and it helped to be versed in civics also, so that when the judge or prosecutor or anybody with the court is trying to be unconstitutional or doing something illegal, you recognize it, you can take notes. And with these notes, as John was saying earlier, you can write an affidavit for the clients, the people that you're there with. So you also need to, you know, go over how to write an affidavit. It's not hard. It's quite easy, and the more of them you write, the easier it gets. But that's how we get service to our clients, is by looking after their best interests and writing affidavits for them to use if they're gonna fight the case. Now we have made up a list of things that you can download off of the website from the Courtroom Observers page, and it's a list of things to watch for that judge, prosecutor, the courts may say. And it's like a little cheat sheet. You can put it right on your clipboard so that you can see some of these things that you should be looking for. And I want you to know that one person can impact the court. One person can intimidate the judge and prosecutor greatly. And so if you can have 5, 10, 15 people, oh man, that's power. They know that they're not doing right. They know that they're not serving justice. And so you can, as an individual, have a great impact on a case. I was in one court for 2 days taking notes. And when the client was brought up before the judge for a decision, the prosecutor made a statement. He said, "Your Honor, there's been a courtroom observer in the building, in the room, for the last 2 days taking notes." And he says, I have a great concern about this. And he says, "In my opinion, I feel it would be in the best interest of the state if we dismiss the charges against this man." And they did, because they were intimidated, and only one person pulled it off. And that's the power of a courtroom observer. If you look nice, you're obviously taking notes, you're paying attention, so probably you're going to be writing an affidavit. They know that they're doing wrong. They know that you are recording it. Maybe not electronically, but at least writing and taking the notes. And it scares them. Now, there's a lot of information on the website concerning courtroom observers. And anybody that's interested in being a courtroom observer, and I really hope that you all are interested in looking into it and being a courtroom observer, but there's a lot of information that I would hope that you would all go over. There's not a lot that you have to learn, but there is a lot of information on it. And what I've gone over tonight is what's really important is, you know, look professional, be prepared to take notes, have a working knowledge of the Constitution, you know. I like to just sit there and smile as I take notes. But that's really all you need. you can always download a template for an affidavit, and you can whip one out pretty quickly for the client. Now, I am looking for somebody with some knowledge on being a courtroom observer, somebody who's been doing it, somebody that's done it, somebody that is familiar with being in a courthouse. I'm looking for a man interested in helping to lead this group, man or woman, it doesn't matter. I just want somebody that's knowledgeable and is willing to step up and help out. You can contact me at my Skype number by calling 503-608-4979. That's 503-608-4979.
Yeah, John, it's Gunner from Oregon.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd be glad to help if somebody else will basically take the lead. We're working on court issues here. Right now I'm visiting with family, so I don't have much time to get into any kind of a detail. But we're doing that. We're writing about 10 of us have submitted an affidavit, and we're going to collectively submit another affidavit showing the course of violations that a hearings officer portraying a ruling without establishing jurisdiction that he was called upon. So that's one of the things, is first thing is you ask by what jurisdiction or by what authority are you being charged. There's no contract, especially on property that has been patented. So that's our issue here. And, yeah, I've been in and out of court witnessing for the last 4 years. So on periodic different cases for our county courts and code hearing officers. So I'll be willing to participate with somebody else that would take the lead, though.
Okay.
I'm sure that I'd help by contributing the stories and the experiences that we're having on the ground here in Josephine, Jackson County, Oregon, Southern Oregon.
Okay. I have written your name down, Jenny, and I thank you for stepping up. Anyone else? Is there anything that anyone would like to bring up?
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yes. This is, can you hear me? This is Margie from North Carolina.
I hear you.
Okay. Very good. Hey Robert.
Yes.
My question is, when you're in the courtroom, can you really hear what's going on? Can you hear the judge, the prosecutor, and everybody?
Well, you're supposed to be able to. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes they have the mic turned down low to where it's very difficult.
Uh-huh.
But you're supposed to be able to hear. Usually when I've been in as an observer, I've been able to hear well enough, and my hearing is not perfect. So for me to hear, that says something.
Well, that's what I wondered, because, you know, if you were supposed to take notes and write an affidavit and, you know, about the whole situation, the case, it's kind of difficult.
Well, I'll tell you, where I found the most problem is in federal courthouses. Those judges don't like to speak up, and they like to mumble with their head down.
Huh.
Kind of speaking into their chest, you know.
Yeah, gosh. That's terrible. That makes it hard, difficult, right, for a courtroom observer
They really don't want you being able to take notes. They'd like to keep everything right there inside the courtroom. So you have to find a way to be able to hear. I mean, there are things you can do.
You can't use your cell phone, can you? Hit the recorder button because they'll take it from you, right?
Yes. Not legal, but they can do it. They will do it,
Okay. Then they might not, with our recorders on our phones, you know, they might not be able to hear. We might not be able to record real well because it's not, they might be too far away, so. Anyway,
well, I have hearing aids with a remote control.
Oh.
And I can sit there and turn it up, and I can hear everything.
Well, Robert, can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Harley. How y'all doing? Just a statement, sort of quandary on that. Not being able to record. Have you heard Mike Gill speak in court?
I've heard a little bit.
Yeah. He admonishes the defense or the prosecution of whatever other side he was on in that particular case. I think it was the press.
There is federal court cases where they've ruled that it is legal to record because it is the property of the people.
Well, it's either public or it's not, you know, and the fact that we can walk in there and maybe even not state which person, because I think that's part of the mystique, you know. Why should we even have to state which person we're in there, you know, recording for? It's our prerogative because it is an open court. And I just wondered kind of where our stance at NLA is on that and where our activism might even be to be proactive. Like in my case, I fully planned to call him to the carpet, and I asked ahead of time to bring my camera and did each time. Now, did I get any good content, or did they really want to give me the floor? That didn't end up happening, but I bracketed it by making sure that I, you know, even cleared it ahead of time and knew what I was doing. So I'm just putting that out there for the group.
Well, I have in court cases, I have gone to the clerk ahead of time, and I had a couple of court cases written down, all the information on them, where they ruled that it was legal, and I gave them a copy of it. They went to the judge and showed it to them, and I was able to take my camera in in that way.
I say it should be the norm, and I'll shut up about it, but... you know, if they start to disallow it, that's kind of metadata. That's, you know, that's them ticking the switch. That's them trying to cover up something that, you know, we've got a normal state of affairs. It is an open court and a court of record, and so be it.
And that's something that can be added to the affidavit.
Yeah.
This is April from North Carolina. Can I say something about that?
Go ahead.
All right. Harley, I'd love to see you go into a Virginia court and try to get a camera in there, because Virginia Beach courts, you can't even have a pen in there. They make up excuses that if you have any kind of liquid whatsoever, including pens, that you could take that and use that as a weapon against them. They will use every excuse in the book why you should not be able to record in a courtroom. Courtroom observers, you need a pen and paper. You need to sit there. If you cannot hear it, you write down in your affidavit, you cannot hear it. They're making sure you can't hear what's going on. You write down everything possible that you can write showing the injustice that's going on. That's what being a courtroom observer is about, including conversations that happen in the hallway between the parties. You have to just get in there. Yeah, you got to get in there and just write whatever you can to show the injustice.
Yeah, you know, so that's an indication right there. And I say, you know, as uncomfortable as it's going to be, I think that's one of the things NLA is going to be known for, is being proactive and going in on the front, you know, step and saying, look, I expect this access. I expect to be able to hear. I expect to be able to record. And if it's different, then we need to establish that in law. And, you know, we're not going to – it's going to fall on the floor a lot of times. It's going to cause a ruckus sometimes. But, hell, what the hell? Why not risk something? A lot of people are risking a lot right now.
I believe in some of the information that's on the website about courtroom observing. You'll read some information on that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to drive ourselves out, and we take the best we can get. You know, it's always a trade-off. I'm not saying – you know, be militant. I'm just saying that as a first, you know, negotiating point, I you know.
Yes. Well, there's, you know, if you use some imagination, there are some things that can be done.
Well, there, if you go on Amazon, you'll find a lot of spy cameras there that they can't even detect that are cameras, and that's what some people on YouTube have used to post their videos.
I've seen one woman that went in with a pen in the in Portland court, and what nobody realized was it had a recorder and a camera inside the pen, and she could take video as well as recording, and it was very sensitive. It picked up very well.
I was going to say. That's what you need. Something that's going to, you can really hear them.
And she got that from Amazon.
Yeah, you can't even have your cell phones in these courts.
Yep.
They won't even allow them no more.
Well, that's why I was saying.
Control.
In some cases, you can get it. You can get the permission up front before court, and sometimes you can kind of pressure them into allowing it.
Yeah, they're not even recording it. They're not even recording the hearings themselves. They're doing it strictly on the person that types it up. That's it.
The stenographer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Whatever she's called.
Yep.
I think she's called a stenographer. You mean they don't have transcripts in there? They don't record everything?
Nope, they just let the stenographer do everything, and that's it. They do not record it. I tried to get videos on my son's hearings. They do not have them.
That's how criminals operate, you know?
Yep.
We go out on the streets, there's cameras everywhere looking at the public. But why is the public not looking?
Yeah, they're looking through our computers, through our iPads, through our phones. They're watching us.
But they don't want to have a public access. You know, why not have cameras go into a feed where we can, you know, look at what's going on in the courts?
All court hearings should be on TV. All court hearings should be on TV, so everybody knows all court hearings are done legally and rightfully.
That's right. It'd be silent. It would be absolutely non-disruptive to the court, although later on it might cause disruptions, feedback, but... But, you know, that's how corrupted the system is right there. So.
Yep, and that's what we're all about. We need to get somebody in every state to get together with this group, one person from each state or even more than one person. And we need to get cases from each state where we can, like, post them on Facebook or something, that there are cases here and we need courtroom observers. So we do need more people in this group.
We need a lot more courtroom observers. We need them everywhere in every county.
Yes.
And we need as many as we can get, because the bigger the group that can go into a court, the more impact you have.
Oh, yeah. It scares them.
Let me ask you this. What court are we talking about? There's all different courts. There's a
different courts.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Any court case. Except for family court, they might try to deny you unless you are a friend of one of the petitioners. Then you can go in as a friend.
But if you're allowed in, I mean, most cases you're allowed in there as a courtroom observer.
I want to go into a courtroom one day and just sit there and just watch the whole hearing, not even know anybody there, and just start taking notes on everybody and just make them nervous.
Well, I advise people to do that if they have the time to do that.
Right.
You get quite an education and you learn what to look for.
Yeah.
And especially if anybody does want to be a courtroom observer, that's great. I mean, that's the way to go, is to go into a courtroom. It doesn't matter whether you know anybody or not. Just listen. Pay attention to what they're saying. And you begin to see after a while that they're going with like a script.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I got an education when I went to the, I had the speeding tickets, the fraudulent speeding tickets. It was just a traffic, it was just fraud, speed traps. And so I was there all day long, and I observed with my own two eyes everything going on, and all these envelopes being passed, and all the big dollar signs, and everybody was in there for all different reasons. So I observed a lot, so. And then sometimes you could hear the judge and the prosecutor. Sometimes you couldn't. And then he went to the jail. He went, on that TV, on that monitor, and then he took care of the cases there. And then the guys in the jail said, "Yes, I'm here to I'm going to represent myself." So, and this is in the district court.
Yeah. Well, there's everywhere you go, things are just a little bit different. They kind of, different states, different counties, they all seem to have just their own little quirks.
It's all about money, because you hire a lawyer, you go in there with your lawyer, you paid the money for your lawyer, he'll get you off with a fine. You go in there by yourself, they're either putting you in jail or giving you a gigantic fine.
Well, most times, even with an attorney, they work together. The judges and the attorneys, they work together.
Yes.
They're all in it.
Oh, yeah.
And they're gonna hurt you one way or another.
Oh yeah.
I represented myself, and I went in there, and I did have my cell phone, and then one guy did, when we recessed or something, he did say, "Oh, yeah, you're the one that they took the cell phone away." I said, "Yeah." And I said something to him, the bailiff. I said, "No." I said, "I didn't say anything. I'm just looking at my cell phone." He says, "Let me have your cell phone." And I said, "Why? You're not right with what you just said, sir." I didn't say anything, but I had to give it over to him, my cell phone. I said, when can I have it back?" He said, when the court's all over with,
There's a couple of courts that will take the cell phones and they don't give them back.
Really?
They don't want anybody recording the fact that it's no due process going on in that courtroom.
Exactly.
It's all a crime scene.
And they're giving the phones away. Yeah, they're giving the phones away.
Well, if there's
the lady was just talking about her ticket. Did you hear last Thursday night Captain Ron talking about what to do when you get a ticket next time? The 3-day rule.
Yes, I was there. I was listening. Uh huh.
Okay. Yeah. Well, next time you can try that. So.
Can you repeat that for us?
It's under uniform commercial code. Is there a recording of the committees of safety, Robert?
Yes,
sir.
Yes,
there
sir.
Is
okay.
Under the COS.
Okay,
but
then it was just last Thursday.
It's really not. It's really nothing. It's law that you have 3 days to, when you buy something,
to rescind any contract.
You can rescind the contract within 3 days. And so you can rescind your signature on a ticket like that. But you have to do it within that 3 days.
And what do you have to do?
yeah, what do you really have to, you know, I was listening to what he had to say, but, you know, I still don't really understand it.
You just say,
it.
I rescind the contract. I do not consent. And send it in and see what happens. So.
You mean the ticket?
The
citation?
Yes, I've actually heard people say just right across in big bold print, I do not consent on the ticket, send it in. But Captain John, it's in that recording. I think it's about halfway through, and you can find it there. And that was a very good, that was actually a tremendous show last Thursday night. So,
you know, that's whether you buy a car or most anything, you can go back and resend a signature and give the car back.
Is that what you say on the ticket, on my citation?
On a citation like that, you can resend your signature, and then sit back
the
and wait for them to notify you. And in a lot of cases, they won't even notify you. You'll never hear another word.
Yes, but then there was a court date on there. See, that, you know, it says you have to appear in the court at a certain day.
Well,
yes,
you'll appear, and you rescind your agreement to do that. So, and he used that word, I do not consent to the agreement. So if you want his exact wording, listen to the recording. So I assume Captain John is too busy preparing for tomorrow night show to be listening to this show. So,
well, Captain John doesn't teach man on the land stuff. He's all about being up front with common law.
Uh-huh. Right.
I noticed that. Yeah, that's good.
I thought I heard John say months ago, don't use the UCC 308 that I reserve all rights.
No, that's
different.
Probably most of the judges don't even know what that means.
Yeah, okay. But they do know what the three-day rule is.
So, yes.
Can I say something? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Sure can.
I'm from Michigan, and our court rules specifically spells out that a ticket has to be signed by an officer with their full signature. And a lot of times they don't sign the ticket. They'll put AJ something, whatever, but that's not their real name. Two things that you have to consider. Anytime you deal with the court, unless you consent otherwise, it has to be with an original signature. It cannot be under the electronic signature laws. They have to give you an original signature on everything. And so Michigan has very explicit rules as to what satisfy an original ticket. And you can contest it if the ticket is not valid. And then the officer has to bring in an original copy in order to go forward. So my daughter got a ticket, and we did that. And by all rights, we pretty much won. We wrote a letter contesting the situation that they didn't have jurisdiction, that it was an original ticket and things of that nature. And the rules also said that a judgment is when you consent to what happened, when you confess guilt or innocence, and when a judge has damages or can show damages on the record. But despite all of that, they have this secondary system with the Secretary of State where they will code your driver's license and illegally and say that your license is suspended, even though there was no legitimate court case to validate that. So when my daughter was out, I'm sorry?
Well, most people don't know the law, and they
right.
they just go along with it, thinking they don't have any choice.
Right, where do we learn this?
You don't have to use the UCC because we actually have the court rules to our advantage. If there's no original signature, which is 9 times out of 10, there never is, and there's not a full signature, even if you go in with all of your right regulations, they're still going to ignore that. And they're still going to code your license as suspended, and they will fraudulently detain you and frisk you for money in order for you to get from up under their corruption?
Usually, I would recommend that on traffic tickets, don't argue with the police out on the street. That's not going to do any good. But it's usually probably the best policy just to pay the ticket and keep all the information, write the information down, write an affidavit, and hold it. Because under common law, there is no statute of limitation. And so when we're back in, we get back into the courtrooms and we bring back common law, then it can be brought back up.
So what do you do when they give you a ticket, they suspend your license, and they want you to pay the ticket, but they just took away your license to drive so you could get to work to pay their ticket?
I know what you mean.
How much is your ticket?
They did it to my son
for speeding.
There's a time that you have to fight.
So how do you fight? Because when he asked for a temporary, what is that called, conditional license so he could get to work, everybody's telling him he has to get a lawyer to get a conditional license.
I can't give any kind of legal advice. I'm not an attorney, and I really don't know how it's done. There's time when you have to fight, and there's time when you are better off not to.
Yeah.
That's a personal decision that you need to make at the time when it happens.
Yeah, I agree. But it still stinks that they take away the person's license and then they can't get to work to pay the tickets. And then they're going to arrest them after that.
Yeah, I've seen that many times.
A man that has to pay
child support gets put in jail, yeah.
They'll take away his license, and so how does he get to work to pay the arrears?
And no, that's they put how him in jail.
that is these courts.
Jail.
They absolutely...
And there's not supposed to be a debtor's prison, but...
Yep.
Can't prove that
that's
by
the
way.
You have
to sue the individual. You have to sue them in a court of record.
Yep.
Yeah. There's also not supposed to be a prison for people that were just near somebody that did a crime.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
There's a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn.
Well, we need
to share this information.
There's going to be, we're kind of revamping these. The courtroom observer call, and I am looking for more leadership, and I am looking for a lead person.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, we're gonna be doing more teaching, going over and over and over everything. People are going to be, in the call, we'll be talking about the Constitution, we'll be talking about the affidavits, we'll be talking about dress codes, and, we'll be making sure, or trying to be sure, that people are very confident when they go into a courtroom. And,
we need to get more people in every state that when somebody has a court hearing, you got like 50 people going in with them.
Yeah, I'd like to have a minimum of 50 people in every state.
Yeah.
Or 20 for every county, or 50 in every county, or however many we can get. The more, the merrier.
Yep.
And it is one of the most important positions that we can do. It's really important. I mean, it helps so many people. It's amazing what a little intimidation does. And you don't have to say anything to intimidate. Just your looks, what you're doing.
Just being there.
You're exactly right.
So, Robert. I want to teach people this.
The biggest problem you have is a lot of people don't want to go to court because they just can't stand the anxiety that's there.
Yeah, well,
But people need to step up and just do it.
Yeah, go in there and intimidate. Be an intimidator. Just look at them. Yeah, just I love doing that. I mean, that doesn't bother me.
Well,
we can get
many people, get the charges dismissed for many people by just going in and
I'm not afraid of them.
Yep.
Well, for anybody that out there that needs somebody in Davidson County, North Carolina, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, April would be good too. Yeah, she's not afraid.
Yeah, well, you know, I hope that you'll all talk to your friends and whatnot and bring them in down to L.A. Bring them in to courtroom observing.
I try to get people in every day.
And I thank you for that.
Robert?
Yes.
Yes, this is Watchdog.
I don't have the time.
Traffic tickets in New York are not jailable offenses, number one. I don't think they are anywhere. Going back to that fellow who was talking about the family court and taking the license away on child support, an affirmative defense that he has and that would have to be filed into the courtroom is an impossibility. And that impossibility exists when they remove your driver license so that you can't go to work. And that's... they cannot force you to do something that's impossible. And
yeah.
I've used that in my case, and they didn't take mine away. So that's something
yeah.
that you can probably think about.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's not happening to me as far as that family court. I just threw that in as a reading.
No,
so.
But that is happening
but
all
I'll
the
tell
time,
you,
so it, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
But you traffic can't be consistent in your jurisdiction, though. Don't go into their court. You have to take it into your court of record. When you go into their court, that gives them the ammunition to run all over you because there is no constitution in their court. You're a person,
right.
not a people.
If you start studying administrative law, you'll see that they cannot look at pleadings and make a decision on them. They're like a robot that just pushes the case. What'd that fella Gunny say? Out there that's 4 years later in Oregon?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. What was the subject matter of his case? I actually went out for a minute and just caught the tail end of that, or I would have stayed. What's the subject matter of his case out there? Is it traffic, or what is it?
No. It's
Do you remember, Robert?
I don't know for sure, but he's been working in that area for... quite some
yeah, he
time.
Volunteered. He'd like to spread information about his experience. I'd like
he's,
to talk to that
he's
fella.
He's been involved in quite a lot, and he's also working on creating a new state. Part of it from Oregon, part of it from California, and he's working on the procedures for doing that. So he's got quite a bit going.
All right, I'd heard about that before, so he's in that group of people, so.
But how do you make something a court of record? You know, you're in a district court.
You're not going to be able to do that in administrative court, but you can still apply it, put it in your pleadings for future events in some higher court.
No, it's simple. Whatever court that you have that you just move it to the a court of record by putting your name above the court's title. That
mm-hmm.
becomes, and then you put in the body of your complaint that it's a court of record. But you really
mm-hmm.
have to go through the training and mm-hmm. use the model of the paperwork that's being filed with the... in the federal court that they're doing right now as your basis, as a template, because a lot of what they say in there you can use for your own case.
Well, John and Gerard is the people that's the people to get information from. I'm not one of those that's as near as knowledgeable, and so I try to stay away from giving any kind of advice on that kind of stuff.
have to understand how it all works, and then I can go from there. But I have to, you know.
But anyway,
okay, well, good to hear from people that have done things. Give your experience of what you've done, what you've gone through, and tell us if you had success or not, and that will help us.
Yeah, Bill Thornton does a really good job on it.
I like him. 1216.org.
Yeah, because I followed it, and I'm working with a friend of mine. The judge, who's supposed to be a magistrate who has no authority over our court, trespassed on our court, much like what's happening with the federal case that we're dealing with. But we were able to get there's two orders that we have to submit. One order we did manage to get in, and all he has to do is get a certified copy of that one. And we're trying to, I have to go in and help him get the second order put in. But it does work. But you're going to have a lot of fun. You got to have tenacity to keep on them because they will trespass on your case and try to shut it down. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're going to try to steamroll over you no matter what. They're going to test you to see what you know.
Yeah.
So we have to know it. We have to know it like the back of our hand. And it's not of it's hard.
Well, if you've got your own case, yeah, but as you know, it's something that we really don't get into as a courtroom observer. We don't need to know any of that kind of stuff. We just need to know how to intimidate them.
Yeah, that's right. For courtroom observer, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, we have to know a little bit. We have to know the Constitution, like you said. And
well,
we have to.
I mean, that's something that everybody should have at least the working knowledge of it. Man, woman, and child should have at least the working knowledge of it.
Yeah.
They don't, but they should. And
so you don't get shysted.
Well, people don't even realize that their rights are disappearing because they don't know what rights they had in the first place.
That's correct.
I want to see 26 people go in everybody's hearing, stand up and say, I hold you in contempt to the judge. And let's do that to every single judge.
Yep.
Yeah. It has to be 26 people.
It has to be 23 people.
26. It has to be 26.
And what do you have to say? Say that again.
All 26 have to stand up at the same time and point to the judge and say, I hold you in contempt of court. And they have to arrest the judge.
Well, good.
How did they say it? Not contempt of court. I find you at treason, I think it was.
Yeah. Well, I would make sure before I tried it.
Yeah, it's one of Bill Thornton's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that man. How old is that man now? Do you know? I went back. I went to 1215.org, and I downloaded. I downloaded to learn the common law through something else. It was 765 pages.
He's
over 70 years old. I had the pleasure of talking to him, and he was like my mentor through my friend's court case, and it was a blessing to have him. But I believe he's doing something greater on the political realm because he's not taking calls anymore.
Oh, he's doing something with land, too. There's something new on his website about land, something new about land. And I'm listening to his quarter record again. I had to do it with the civics course, but it was good there. And he's so good.
Yeah, he's a nice man too. Very patient.
I sure would like to ask him though. Does he still have that long beard? I wish he'd shave it off.
it would
make him look a lot younger. It really would.
Oh, I like the long beard.
it's time that
oh,
we
you do?
Close this
yeah.
down. And,
okay.
And,
okay.
I hope to see all you people in here on next Wednesday evening. we'll have a better, we'll have the program going at 9 p.m. Eastern on next Wednesday.
Okay.
So I hope to see you all there.